Welcome to Your Best Riding Life, an extension of the Blue Ridge Mountains Christian Riders Conference held in the beautiful Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina. I'm your host, Linda Goldfarb. Each week, I bring you tips and strategies from experts in the riding and publishing industry to help you excel in your craft. I am so glad you're listening in today. We're discussing writing for newspapers. That's right, folks. They're not all extinct. My industry expert is Julie Lavender. Julie is a journalist, author, wife to a wildlife biologist, mommy of four adult children, and grandmommy to a precious three-year-old. With a master's degree in early childhood education, Julie taught public school before becoming a homeschooling mom. The Lavenders spent 20 years as a Navy family in five different states. Please welcome Julie. Julie, it is so good to have you here on Your Best Riding Life.
I am so glad to be here. Thank you so much.
And what we're going to do, we're going to take a moment to peek behind the curtain of your life, if you will. I'd love for you to share something with our listeners that maybe we might not read in your bio.
Oh, gosh. Well, you know, one thing that I don't put in my bio is that while I was in college, I let a college girlfriend, and we'd known each other since high school, talk me into parachuting. Now, I don't know why we had this wild idea. It was kind of the point we were getting near the end of our graduate degree. I think we were both going to be starting our master's degrees. And we just felt like we needed to do something to celebrate. And that was before kids these days do a lot of parachuting. I don't think it was quite that common back then as a celebratory kind of a thing. And so I mentioned to her, oh, I think that will be so much fun. Well, she was the one, if you ever said anything to her, she was going to make it happen. So next thing I knew, she had signed us up for a class. I loved every minute of it. God's world is beautiful. It was just amazing to be able to see it from up there. But you know what? Once was enough for me. I won't be doing it again. I was terrified.
I thought of doing that myself, Julie, you know, where people will have a bucket list. I've thought, man, I'd love to parachute or maybe hang glide. And then I have my children look at me and my husband and go, and why? I go, I don't know, just to say I did.
That's right.
But who knows? Who knows? Maybe I'll be up there in the ranks one day and be able to share with you my experience.
Well, and my husband and I parasailed when we were on our honeymoon, but we were attached. We stayed attached to the boat. It was just a little scary when, you know, I let go of that airplane and the parachute came open. So I just won't be doing it in that format again.
Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. Folks, we know right away that we have a risk taker here. And you know
right.
What? If you're not going to risk it, then you're not going to win it. So there are times we have to take risks. Today may not necessarily be a risk, but it might be something that you've not thought much about before. We're looking at writing for newspapers. And as I said up at the front, they're not extinct. Isn't that correct, Julie?
That's exactly right. You know, they're sick and ailing. Some of them are, financially speaking. And, you know, a lot of that is just because we can get news content at the touch of a fingertip these days. And so I know that's why that they're not flourishing as much as they are, were most of them. And that's just because we can get our news sources everywhere else, anywhere else practically. But you know what? They're still out there. And however many times a week your paper comes out, mine used to be a 7-day, then it went to 6-day, now it's a 5-day. Even in those 5 days, they need fresh content every single day. They have a lot of articles that go in the newspaper, and that's where a freelance stringer comes in.
And that's what we're going to discuss today, areas where you can take your writing, you can take your knowledge, maybe it's your passion, maybe it's something that dealing with gardening. I mean, it doesn't matter, but if you can get your writing out to the public, it makes a huge difference. And we're going to talk about what those differences and benefits are as well. So let's hit that. What are the benefits of writing for a newspaper for a new writer? And you can also add in for the experienced writer as well.
Well, you know, for either one, the beauty of writing for a newspaper, because they do need fresh content so often, so many, like our newspaper, I think they only have two or three full-time staff members. They just can't afford to pay these full-time reporters. And of course, they're busy covering the latest school board meeting or those important things that need to get in the newspaper every day. And sometimes what gets left out and overlooked are those smaller stories, are just the heart of the community, the inspiring stories, those good stories. They need feet on the ground in the community that know about those stories to be able to get some of those stories in the newspaper. So because of that, it's much easier for a brand new writer to be able to get published in a newspaper. And for an experienced writer, then it just gives you even more opportunities. So that's one benefit is that new writers can just be able to get these opportunities. Another one is you can earn a lot of writing credits in a short amount of time. When you're turning in this many articles to get in the newspaper, you can earn a lot of writing credits in a short amount of time.
So what exactly are writing credits? It may sound very obvious, but let's speak to those that are just coming up in the field and arena of writing. They may not know what writing credits are or what they do for them. How about you give us input there?
You know, I certainly didn't know what that was when I first started on this writing journey. There are a lot of people that their desire is to write a book. Some people just want to write short pieces like newspaper articles, magazines, devotions, something like that. And for either one of those, if you want to write short pieces for a magazine or something like that, and it's a very well-known magazine, or if you would like to write a book, then an editor or a publisher, they're going to want to see that you have writing credits, that you have writing experiences. And so, you know, if you in a month's time turn in 10 articles to the newspaper, then on your bio or your resume, you would include that you had written those 10 articles for your newspaper. And the more you build up these writing credits, they're like, well, this person can write. This person can write tight. This person can meet a deadline. This person has command of the English language and punctuation and grammar. This person is getting published. Therefore, we can trust them to be able to do a good job with this book or this article that they would like to write for us. And it gives you more clout. It helps an editor or publisher take a second look at your proposal or your book idea.
And it would be maybe they've got two people that they're looking at and they're pretty equal. And then it's a little weightier on this side with writing credits. Let's go with someone who has a little bit more under their belt, and that could make the tipping difference.
That's exactly right.
In their decision.
Very good.
If we're looking at writing for newspapers, how do you break into that industry?
Well, the first things you're going to want to do is to check in with the newspaper editor. You can do this really quickly because they're always on the lookout for something that's happening. Sometimes I think they're a little bit more accessible than just, say, a magazine editor, because somebody might send them, hey, here's a great story. Do you want to cover that? So I think they're a little bit more accessible. They may answer you quicker than you might hear back from a magazine editor. So shoot off a quick email that says, you can give a little bit about your background, how long you've lived in the community, something like that. But just find out first if they use freelance stringers. There are a few newspapers that I had talked with some folks in their town that they do not use freelance stringers. I think that's rare. So first thing to do is check and see if they use those freelance stringers. And you could even go ahead and ask and say, I would like to send you some sample articles for the possibility of becoming a freelance stringer. And if the editor says yes, then the next thing you're going to want to do is to cover something in your community. You know, find something that you think the community, something that's going on, an event, or it could even be a profile of someone in the community that has done something really great, something inspiring, something encouraging. And you'll need to write up that article. Then you could either see if you could meet with the editor in person. And my suggestion is to take maybe like 3 sample articles. Find out if you could meet with the editor in person, shoot off another email, ask if you can meet in person. He or she may rather you just send those articles in, and then you could show them your work and find out if that's an opportunity for you, maybe they would cover that story.
I like that you're saying to get involved in the community, because that's what our newspapers are all about, folks. They'll handle things that are national, that are international, that are, you know, worldwide, because something is in the news. But the reason the locals buy it is because it's feeding into the lives of the locals. So find out what it is, maybe even looking at the newspaper and saying, what do they not currently have?
Right. What's missing?
Not what's missing, but it has to be advantageous to the community. And you've tossed out this word a few times, or these two words, and you said freelance stringer.
Right.
Okay. Everyone is like, what does she say? Is she fishing?
You know, that's,
what is she doing?
And I don't even know. I think I read one time. I really don't even remember where it comes from. But, you know, freelance, obviously, you're not a paid staff. And then stringer is just a person who writes for a newspaper stories that, you know, you don't go into the office. You don't have you're not a paid salary. You just write these stories as they come about. So a freelance stringer is a person who writes for a newspaper on just happenings in the community. And not paid staff.
All right. And it can still be, folks, that you get a column.
That's true. You could even start with a column. It wouldn't have to be a local happening. That's actually how I started out with my newspaper. My mother-in-law was on some kind of a board where she met, and I don't even know exactly what it was, but it was something related to the newspaper. And or maybe the newspaper editor was on the same board with her. I'm not sure. Well, she heard that they were looking for new columnists. This was 10 or 12 years ago. And so she suggested it to me. So I queried him with a family column, and he liked the idea. It was going to be once a month. Well, after I'd written, I don't know, a couple of years, this column, he reached out to me. I think he called me on the phone, and he said, and I think he recognized my faith. You know, I wasn't specifically talking about God, but he recognized my faith in there. And he said, I would like for you to do some, he called them religious news articles. And he was very emphatic that he didn't want them to be preachy. He didn't want a lot of Bible verses, and he could probably only use them about once every 6 weeks. And he said, I don't even know what I can pay you. I knew what I was making on my column, but he said, I'm not sure what I can pay you right now. This is a new idea we have. And I said, you know, if I can write about faith-based articles, I don't even care what you're going to pay me, and that will be fine. Well, I think I only turned in two, maybe three, or maybe just a couple of articles before he called me back up again and said, I'll use these anytime you send them to me. As many as you get to me, they'll get in the paper. And for the most part, I think that was the case. And what I think happened was these stories resonated with people. Yes, they want to know the national news, the international news. They want to know what happened at the school board meeting, what happened at the commissioner's meeting, you know, who was elected for this, who's, they wanted to know all that, but they needed it. They needed these good stories. They needed these inspiring stories, these encouraging stories. They liked that balance. And I think it just resonated with the community. And rarely did I send him an article, but what it was published in just a couple of days.
And that's good. And we're going to talk too, as we're wrapping up, how you can share faith-based articles without coming across preachy, because that is key. And I'm just going to put that out there as a teaser, what we have to be aware of when we are submitting articles and wanting to make sure that it's not going to prevent it from being published, but also where you're still standing on your faith and not necessarily compromising who you are in your faith as well. Well, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say that's exactly right, because some of the readers that might be okay with, but I knew my editor was not okay with it. And I knew there were a lot of people that wouldn't be okay with it. So it's a fine balance. You have to walk a careful line there.
And you need to do that. So I wrote a newspaper column for 5 years, but it was actually for a faith-based newspaper that came out in our community. And I was cleared for that. But when you're brought on, you have to meet the requirements of those that are bringing you on. And if they say, I don't want this, then you have to make the decision, is this what I'm going to do or not going to do? But the aspect of preachy, that's entirely different. We'll get to that in just a moment. So what are some interview tips to complete a newspaper article that you would share with our listeners as they're going out into the communities?
My suggestion is to get way more information than you think you'll need. Now, you have to keep in mind that then you're just using more of your time. But at the same time, you just never know. You may get back home and you start writing this information and you think, oh, it's just lacking something. So I would go with I always went to my interview with a list of questions. You know, if I knew a little bit about the subject that I was going to interview or whatever event was going on. And I might even do a little bit of research before I went to see, okay, yes, this is the third annual chocolate run that they're raising money for the homeless shelter. You know, I tried to find out that information ahead of time, try to be as knowledgeable as you can before you go. Make a list of questions before you go to try to get as much information as possible, but be prepared to take a different direction. You know, you might think this is going to be the focus of my story, and they might make this wonderful, amazing comment that you're like, oh my goodness, that has just shifted. And here's a little bit more of the direction I want to go with that story. So be flexible and be willing to run with the story. I always take plenty of paper and pens and pencils. I didn't record mine too often. Now, there's a lot of devices now where you can record it and it transcribes it for you. I didn't trust that enough that I didn't just not take any notes at all, but I think you can do both. And, you know, I would always try to be very kind, I'd be respectful of that person's time as well. Even though I wanted to get a lot of answers to my questions, I would try to be respectful for that person's time as well and make sure I honored their time. And then I would come home and either transcribe it from the recorder right away, or at least from my notes right away, because you'd be surprised how, you know, if you're writing really fast and your handwriting gets sloppy, then you can kind of forget what you wrote. But I would suggest writing it up right away. But be prompt with these interviews. Be very thankful and appreciative for the interview. And just have fun. You know, it's amazing the things. I just think people are interesting. I loved interviewing all these people. I just think they're fascinating. Half the time, I enjoyed it so much that I really wanted to say to them, you know, I passed my word count about an hour ago, but I'm just enjoying talking to you so much here. So I kind of let them be the guide with the time. But enjoy. People are fascinating. People are wonderful. And take advantage to get to know some of these people in the community.
Oh, and that's a great way of looking at it, because the more you know about your community, you know, community is part of our legacy. And life goes by so fast. You know, perhaps you're waiting for that book deal to come in. And in the process, you're so engrossed in the laboring of that. And when's that going to happen? I think sometimes, Julie, we can be missing out on what's going on around us in life.
That's right.
And, you know, the enemy wants us busy, right? We've heard that acronym, busy is being under Satan's yoke. And when we're busy, but not truly experiencing life, that's when the loneliness kicks in for a writer.
Sure.
I'm listening to what you're sharing with us, and I go, what? This is kind of just a fun aspect of what else can I do to be present in my community, to allow my writing prowess to be discovered, to also be working on my craft, because if I'm writing all the time with a deadline, with an expectancy, knowing that someone's going to be looking at it, then I'm really going to be honing my skills that will help me in the future. And being able to interview others in our community, it just really makes it a stronger, that foundational connection. And if we want to make a difference where we live, if we want to make a difference in the lives of those that God has us writing to, we should never overlook our community.
Right. And some of those stories, I liked to call them little stories, and they really weren't. They were huge. But some of these stories were stories that would never make a headline, maybe in a big community or a big town. They're not these huge Hollywood type stories, but these are just good-natured, one person doing an incredible thing. And maybe that's their 15 minutes of fame. Maybe that's the only time that story might get mentioned. And we can learn so much from it. I think about this one, And my editor actually assigned this one. A lot of stories I found myself, but my editor assigned this one because someone told him about it. There was a gentleman who had, I think he was quite the athlete, and he had a really bad accident on his bike, and he was paralyzed from the neck down. And a gym in our area, a local gym, not a franchise, he wanted to help him. Somebody alerted to him, Tim. This person would go pick him up from his home because he had no way to get there. I think he actually lived in a nursing home because of his problems with the paralysis. So the gym owner would go pick him up, take him to the gym, work with him for a long time, an hour or so, and then take him back home again. And they formed such a neat bond. And you know what? In the whole scheme of things, that might be considered a little story that might have never made a paper. But, you know, what does that teach us? That teaches us we can do something for one person. We can change the world one person at a time. This is a gym owner who is quite a busy man, I'm sure. It was a very large gym in our community. And yet he saw the need with this man who had no family nearby, and he reached out to him. And it was my hope that the readership would see that and think, good grief, why? Who can I help like that? What can I do that's that inspiring and can help someone like that?
And folks, this is just truth. Here's the deal. I know we've had different guests on that have talked about writing articles, and that article reaches more people than books do. And that's fabulous. And you can make money from writing articles for different magazines and online or paper magazines. And the concept of writing for a newspaper where maybe you're not going to make money unless they pick you up for a column or something like that, but it's not going to be a lot of money. But the opportunity to influence those around you, I think we can get caught up in, I want to be on a bigger platform. What I have to say is, and it's not even as much ego as it is the world's perception of success. So we ask ourselves, and we ask the Lord to help us. Father, what is success for me right now? And if he says, you know, just share what the gift that I've given you, and let me worry about the reach of it.
Right.
And I think that that is key, right?
Right.
If we can do that, Julie, and one life is changed, one life is impacted, one life regains life.
Right.
I don't know that you could put a price on that.
Exactly. Another cool story. So the majority of my freelance stringer kind of articles were faith-based. That's what he assigned me. But because it's such a small paper, then he got to the point where he was just assigning me stories. And so, for example, one of the most boring, and I love God's nature, but one of the most boring was the daylily competition. You know, when he got to the 437th type of daylily, I just didn't think I could take much more. But yet I've loved every article I did. So one year he sent me to cover a spelling bee. This was a middle school, no, younger than that, maybe elementary, middle, spelling bee. The next year he sent me again. I remember saying when I walked through the doors, I mumbled under my breath. I said, dear God, please don't let these kids be as smart as they were last year. Because the previous year, two little boys at the end battled it out. I think for like, they went all the way to like 35 rounds because they were so smart, they just couldn't get anybody out. So I laughed and thought, you know, I really don't want to be here all night like I was the last time. I watched, and those kids were so smart. I really did enjoy it, but I was so ready to get home. I was ready to get home back to my family. It was in the evening. They declared the winner. And I said, okay, let me go over here and get my quote. Let me just go get a quote from the little boy, get a quote from his parents, and I am out of here. I got to go home. I got to feed my family. And it was way, way past dinner time. And this was going to be completely a secular. There was nothing faith-based about this. I think that's why I wasn't as excited, but I was still okay about it. So I asked the little boy, I said, well, tell me how you prepared for the spelling bee. How did you learn how to spell so many words? And the first words out of his mouth were, my parents have always encouraged us to memorize scripture, so memorization comes easy for me. I want you to know, I whipped out my pen. I looked at that little boy. I looked at his dad. His dad started singing the praises of the Lord. His mom mentioned God. I'm telling you, I wrote and wrote and wrote. The janitor had to run us out of that building because we stood there and talked and had the most delightful conversation. I didn't want to leave. We just kept on talking. And he really had to turn off the lights to hint for us to go home. Well, you better believe that even though I wrote about this spelling bee, I said what grades the kids were in. I threw out some of those words that they spelled. I had to check the spelling of it before I did it. Threw out those words. But you better believe I quoted the little boy. I quoted the dad. I quoted the mom. And those were my quotes in the story. So, you know, God showed me, okay, the editor may have been sending you to do a spelling bee, but you watch and I am going to show up and you're going to write about it.
Very, very good. So good. I want to backtrack for just a moment because you shared a lot of excellent interview tips. And one came to my mind as a past interviewer myself in written form is when I'm preparing to interview a particular person, I really want them to know how the interview is going to go. So I'm kind of preparing them a little bit. And if there is a question that I'm going to ask that could be a iffy question for my interviewee, I kind of want to know ahead of time if they're going to be okay with it or not, because we can come in and ask a question and maybe it doesn't happen in a little bitty town where you're just asking everything feel good, but that may not be what God directs you to. It could be where there's a little bit of controversy. It could be where there's a he said, she said type of thing. But you're, you know, this is an article that you're writing. Letting them know, this is where I'm going. Are you comfortable if I go this way? Especially, Julie, if we are writing on something that has a heart tug in it.
Right.
And it could be someone is starting a community fundraiser because of the loss of a child or something like this. And we want to encourage our community to come alongside. But knowing what does not throw off those that are being interviewed, is that anything that you dealt with in your career with writing for the newspaper?
You know, I don't know if I dealt with that as much as you did, because a lot of times because I was just interviewing them and I was taking notes, if that ever happened at the moment, a lot of times they might would say, I could just tell it made them uncomfortable or something like that. And I would say something like, you know, you don't have to answer that one. We'll just go on. Now, I love your idea, though, of telling them ahead of time like that. I really do. That's a great point. And I have not included that in any of my teachings about writing for newspapers. And that is a very good point. So I didn't really have that. If they chose not to talk about it, we would just avoid the subject because I was not going to ever get into anything controversial like that, that they would not want in the paper. And I didn't want to do anything like that to my editor. I will say that, and this is kind of related because I didn't really have that experience, but this is kind of related. You'd be surprised at the total strangers that would say to me, now this is off the record, but here's how I got to this point. And they would go into this long story. Well, and my, you know, a lot of people like to write about controversy. A lot of people like that kind of thing, and they think it gets them more PR or whatever. My advice as Christians is please always write with integrity. You know, if they say this is off the record and I don't want that covered, then don't. You know, that I don't think that's fair if somebody, now I was always surprised they confided in me, but I would never have put anything in that they didn't want. And also, you know, I don't think we hear quite as much about fake news anymore, but I said, you know, as Christian writers, let's don't fall into that camp either. Please make sure you everything that you write is truth, is accurate. Be very careful with that, because if you ever tarnish your name as a reporter, then it's going to be hard to be recognized as a godly Christian woman who's trying to write truth out there.
Absolutely. And here's a way to ensure that your integrity is seen first, if someone wants to share something off the record, the audio gets turned off.
Right.
Your writing pad gets turned over and placed on the table next to you.
Right.
Everything is far away from you where you are listening to the person because they're sharing something evidently that they need to get out. And that's what's going to help them go further in the interview. And so not to be tempted or to get back and then go, oh, I put that there, but I forgot that was something that they didn't want to talk about.
Exactly.
So if you're writing, set yourself up for success, right?
Sure. If you're writing it down, but you've forgotten, that's the point. They said, don't write. Then when you get home and you've got all these notes, you're not going to remember that. So that is a very good point. Flip over that notebook and just make eye contact with them. You know, there were times I felt like I served as a a semi-counselor as well as a reporter, because sometimes they do pour their heart out to you like that. Sometimes it's easier to talk to a stranger like that than somebody they know.
Absolutely. And you may be the only stranger that treats them as Jesus treats them. And so we want to make sure and maintain that. Julie, what can you share with us on the proper way to format a newspaper article?
That's a good question. A newspaper article is different than a magazine article. And that's partly because, sadly, a lot of times when people read newspapers, they just read the first couple of paragraphs to get all the information, to see if they want to read everything. And they might not finish the article. So it's written a little bit differently than some other articles. So the first thing, of course, you're going to have a headline, which is the title, the byline, which is the writer's name. But the first paragraph is called the lead paragraph. That gives the who, what, when, where, why, and how of the article in just one or two sentences. And sometimes if you read back over it, you think it sounds really long and stringy and just throws all the information at you at the beginning. But that's what a newspaper article does. You need all that information at the front. Then you have a couple of paragraphs that are the explanation. It gives you more additional important details about the event or the person you're writing about. And with most newspaper articles, that's where your quotes will come in. Quotes from reliable sources, experts or witnesses of the event. That's where that part goes. The additional information goes at the very bottom. It's still information about the article, and I try to read a whole article, so I might still be interested in it, but it's the things that aren't as important. So if an editor is running tight with space and needs to cut some of the article, they might cut like the last paragraph or two. So that information goes at the very bottom.
Excellent. That's what we want to know. We need to have that proper formatting. If you know it going in, it's just going to make you look a lot smarter when you approach them with your articles.
That's right.
Well, then how can we? We're going to come to this question. How can we share faith-based newspaper articles without coming across as preachy? Got to answer that question.
You know, you still tell them the who, what, when, where, why, and how, but you know what? You get the heart of the matter in. I'll tell you, you know, my editor said, don't be putting Bible verses and, you know, don't come preachy. But if you just tell the story, if you tell what this person did, okay, so there was the neatest gentleman. He was 90 years old. He wanted to give away for his 90th birthday. He wanted to give away $91 bills. And so I went to the place where he was going to be giving these away. And he just wanted to tell people, I've lived this long. I know what's important in life. Love others. Love God. And so, you know, I was able to tell why he was doing this story, the heart behind it. And you don't have to say God, God, God over and over, which I would love to do. That's fine. But you don't want to turn people off. Share, let them know he was a believer. That's why he wanted to do this. That was the heart of his message. But then tell his story. I told a little bit more about him. I shared some of the things he had done in his life. You tell all these stories. And then the way I snuck in Bible verses, this was always so much fun to me. I always smiled when I was doing this. You know what? If your subject quotes a Bible verse and says, this is why I like doing this because the Bible tells me so-and-so, I can use that as a quote. The preacher, the editor, I was calling him a preacher. The editor just didn't want me to say, you know, this reminds me of such and such verse. No, but you can get those quotes in there when your subject quotes a verse or talks about God. Those make excellent quotes to put in the article. So when you're sharing these stories, you know, it's the passion behind it. You mention God and let them know that's why they are passionate. and maybe you quote a few verses or quote some they might share a little bit about their testimony and about how they've seen God work in their lives. Make sure to get those in, but it doesn't come across preachy when you're sharing this amazing thing that they're doing for the whole community, and it's all because they love God. You're not preaching. Mm-hmm. You're saying what this person does, and the reason they do it is because they love God. You know, you're not saying everybody needs to love God too, which we want them to, but you're not imparting that on your reader. You're just saying, this is why I do it. And then we hope their takeaway is, you know what? This God must be a really good thing. I might need to look into this and look into a God that's so full of love like this.
Absolutely. And folks, we don't point, we invite. And good. If you always think about it, don't point at someone. You need to invite them. Have you ever considered? It makes a huge difference, huge difference. Well, Julie, you have given us great content today. Thank you so very much. And I know that you're making available to our listeners a handout that has the information that's here. Of course, folks, you'll find that in our show notes. But I'd like to ask you a question that I always want to ask our first-time guest. Julie Lavender, what brings you joy?
You know, my kids are all adults now. I have four adult children, and they seem to be slowly leaving me and moving to other towns. I still have one nearby, but my family brings me the most joy. So when I get the opportunity to bake bread for my son who lives nearby, to make cookies to my daughter when I'm going to go visit her, to, you know, when I do something to encourage my children or babysit my grandson, Just spending time with family. You know, this time is fleeting. You know, sometimes we used to talk about when the babies were little, we said the days were, The days were long, but the years are short. And you know, yes. It seems they seem even shorter when they get to be adults. And I just still love spending time with my children, and it brings me great joy. It really, truly does. Anything to do with my family.
I love family.
I do too.
Family, legacy. The stories that we have.
That's right. Making memories, little memories, big memories, just time spent with them.
That's so good. Well, as we wrap up, I'd like for you also to tell us a little bit about, I know we have a couple books out there, and you have Children's Bible Stories for Bedtimes, and that's published by Penguin Random House. We'll have links to that. And then 365 Ways to Love Your Child, Turning Little Moments into Lasting Memories. That's some of what we just talked about there. And that's published by Revell. And we'll have links where folks, you can get copies of that. And you also have a fun free download, Make Every Day a Holiday. Tell us just a little bit about it. We'll have the link where they can get that from you as well. What does that entail?
You know, I love those silly holidays, National Cheese Day, Aviation History Day. I homeschooled my kids, and I used to find these cutesy little things to either incorporate into my lesson plans, or I would write them a little cheesy note. I remember for National Cheese Day, I would pull out my cheese grater from the pantry and put it on the table with a note that says, "I think you're great." And of course, I would spell it G-R-A-T-E. And then I think later that day in our homeschooling lessons, we would talk about homonyms and work on words like that. But I started collecting them to do those fun things with my children, and I figured out I could do one for every day. So I have some of those fun days to celebrate with families to make those lasting memories.
I love that. Anything that we can, you know, just add a little bit of extra joy, a little bit more, then it makes it all interesting, especially if we have young children or we have grandchildren or we have nieces and nephews, or even utilizing some of that if we're teaching, if we're in schools.
Right.
Let's make a little bit more out of our day. And that really does kind of go along with considering the community that you live in. Is God asking you to write a little bit about what's going on in your community, and how can He use it to further His kingdom? We Absolutely. Don't put any, we don't put barriers on what God can do. We show up and do with what we've got.
Right.
And that's what you've shared with us today. Thank you so much, Julie. It is a joy. We attend the Blue Ridge Mountain Conference together. And
yes, we
so
do.
I look forward to being there with you this year. And folks, if you're listening to this after the conference, well, I look forward to seeing you the next time that we come together at the conference. Thank you very, very much. Is there a last word that you have for our listeners today?
You know, just keep your mind and your heart open. I believe God gives us these stories. They're everywhere. It might turn into a book. It might be a newspaper article. It might be a magazine article. But I think God gives us these stories when we can keep our minds and our hearts open for them. And I believe He wants us to share them. As writers, I think that's our job, to sing His praises, to give Him the glory through our computer, through our pen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Thank you again, Julie, for being here.
I have had a delightful time. Thank you so much for being an amazing host.
And thank you, my friends, for joining us. Oh, wow. Please take a moment to subscribe, rate, and review, because what you have to say matters as much as what you have to write. This is Linda Goldfarb, and I look forward to being here with you next time on Your Best Writing Life.